Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here's a good idea.
Have a point.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening until 11 o'clock. Listen, I don't know how I'm going to fit in. I've got like 7 hours of stuff to get to this evening. So what I think I'm going to do is just talk twice as fast and see if I can get it all in 3 hours. So if you hear me, you know, talking like the old VCRs used to sound when you were fast forwarding them, that's my fault. I own up to it because I got a lot of stuff to get to this evening. Hey, you know, when I sit in here on Wednesday evenings, it's great to have you in the audience this evening. One of the things that I always enjoy is getting feedback from listeners. So at any time tonight, even if we're doing an interview, which we have a couple of those scheduled for this evening, you can always text in. Our text number, easy to remember, it's the same as the phone line, 314-436-7900. And unless we're doing interviews, the phone lines are always open because we love to hear from you. That's really what At Your Service means. Now, you can listen to a podcast, but you can't interact with it. You can listen to an audiobook, but you can't ask the author questions in the middle of the audiobook. You can't do that. So that's what At Your Service allows you to do, interact with the show. If you text in, I generally will read most texts on the air. Sometimes they contain verbiage that we can't say because of FCC rules. So, you know, if you want to text in, let's go, Brandon, I mean, that would be okay, but not what the people were really saying when Let's Go Brandon went viral. Also, of course, we're listening, or rather we're broadcasting on 1120 AM, KMOX 50,000 red hot watts. But we're also on FM 98.7, and that's what I listen to when I'm driving around the St. Louis area. So if you're in the immediate St. Louis area, you can always listen to us on 98.7. It's crystal clear. It's fantastic. So you can do that. You can also download the app at odyssey.com. You can listen live at odyssey.com. You can check out the podcasts. We have tons of ways for you to participate in At Your Service. So one of the things I want to start with tonight is happy birthday. Yeah, happy birthday to Vice President Kamala Harris. She's 57 years old today, and ironically, Vice President Harris is celebrating her birthday by inciting churches in Virginia to violate federal tax laws. I mean, what normally, you know, if you're it's your birthday, you go out for dinner, you might go and get a massage, you might get some flowers, you might have cake and ice cream. No, Vice President Harris celebrates her birthday by getting churches in Virginia to violate Section 501c3 of the IRS tax code and break federal law. So let's give it up for Vice President Kamala Harris for having a unique way to celebrate her birthday. So as the show unfolds this evening, I'm going to break down the legal issues related to Kamala Harris's, I think it's a blatant violation of federal tax laws. And she actually issued a video that was sent to over 200 500 primarily African-American churches in the state of Virginia. And she's basically inviting these churches to lose their tax-exempt status because of her attempts to get Terry McAuliffe elected as the governor of Virginia. So I'm going to break down those legal angles for you as the show unfolds. Another explosive evening also last night at the St. Louis County Council meeting. I mean, if you've been keeping up with the St. Louis County Council meetings, there's more infighting than an episode of the Kardashians. I mean, it is just crazy. And so last night was no exception, another exciting evening. And so joining us, I think at like 9:30, maybe 9:35 this evening, will be County Councilman Tim Fitch. He's going to explain the status of the investigation into acting St. Louis County Health Director, Dr. Faisal Khan. And also, when I'm talking to Councilman Tim Fitch, I'm going to talk to you about the Sunshine Law request, very similar to the Freedom of Information Act, but on the state level. I filed a Sunshine Law request today with St. Louis County, so I'll be talking to you about that as well. We've got so many more issues here to get to, but coming up after the break, the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, has literally declared war on parents who object to critical race theory being taught in schools. You know, this has been an ongoing issue. But does A.G. Garland have a conflict of interest here? So we'll talk to Jarrett Stepman from the Heritage Foundation right after this. Brad Young sitting in this evening on At Your Service on KMOX. You know, undoubtedly, you've been following this story. It's really been across the country, but the focus has been in Virginia. But there's been this explosion of conflict between parents and school boards everywhere, even right here in the St. Louis area, over the teaching of critical race theory in schools. Jarrett Stepman, he's with the Heritage Foundation. He writes for thedailysignal.com. He joined us to discuss the latest news on this. Hey, Jarrett, welcome to KMOX.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. I want to talk about Attorney General Merrick Garland's threatening memo in just a moment and his conflict of interest. But give us a summary of the issue that has been rising up for months over this teaching of critical race theory in schools.
Yeah, this has become a massive issue. And critical race theory, I think, something that many Americans probably hadn't even heard of just a few years ago, which is something that kind of originated in deep in the halls of academia many decades ago, but it's really bubbled up, especially in K-12 education, really throughout major powerful institutions of the United States. It's finding its way into curriculum, and what it boils down to is it teaches essentially a kind of racial essentialism, that our entire American system is systemically racist, that it is inherently unfair to minorities, that our country system is based on white supremacy, and it basically boils down what you are to the color of your skin, which I think to many Americans who, especially I think today, think, well, that's the opposite of what we should be teaching. We should be teaching that we're all Americans, that no matter what your skin color is. And this has really taken hold in a lot of K-12 education throughout the country, a lot of public schools and public school districts. It really came to a head, especially in Loudoun County, Virginia, which has kind of become ground central in this fight, where many parents, especially during this time of COVID and lockdowns and many schools being shut down, became very aware that this was entering into the school's curriculum. It was into the trainings for teachers. And many parents now have started to push back. They're going to school council meetings. They are pushing back really across the country. I think now you're seeing the pushback on the other side, where the powers that be that want to push this stuff on students, on parents, are not happy, that they're seeing really what I would call a democratic uprising from the American people.
Yeah, it's interesting, Jarrett. I had a conversation with a colleague of mine in my law firm just a few months ago. We were talking about critical race theory, and he said, well, isn't that just the teaching of historical events that are primarily important to African-Americans? And I pointed out to him that, no, really, critical race theory is rooted in Marxism, and because of things that were done 100 years ago, it teaches today that we're to be divided into groups of the oppressed and the oppressor, just like Marxism segregated individuals into those same types of categories with regard to economic issues. So isn't that the case, that critical race theory is simply rooted in Marxism?
It absolutely is. And you're right that it divides us into categories that you can't escape it based on the color of your skin. I mean, it's basically telling you if you are not white in America, the system is always against you. It's always a rigged system that you can't succeed without these theories. And on the other hand, it tells if you're a young white student or a person, essentially everything you've done is a result of privilege. Nothing you've done as a result of your own merit or your own hard work or your own failing. And I think it's a wrong message to be sending, especially when it comes to young people, especially when they're telling essentially school children that you're essentially bad because of the color of your skin, or you're essentially good because of the color of your skin. These are both bad messages
exactly.
to send to kids.
Both are equally wrong. And because parents, you mentioned Loudoun County, Virginia, but the parents there and elsewhere, even right here in the St. Louis area, have the gall to actually be concerned about what kids are being taught in school. Many of them have been labeled now, many of these parents, rather, have been labeled domestic terrorists, haven't they?
It is such a smear, and I think that's what really gets to the Attorney General Merrick Garland's memo that went out essentially saying the parents have been acting like terrorists, that they've been terrorizing teachers, they've been terrorizing schools, which frankly has not been true at all. There was no evidence whatsoever cited that this is actually happening. Obviously, if there are incidents of threats and whatnot, this is absolutely something that should be handled by local authorities if that's the case. But no evidence was actually shown in this case. It was simply a very a threatening letter from the Justice Department saying essentially, hey, the FBI is watching you. I think that's a horrendous message
to
be sending, especially because this is civic participation. These are Americans who are concerned about their kids and their kids' future, doing the most American thing possible, which is show up in a public sphere, voice their concern, and really care about their children and other children's future.
And because of that, they're being labeled domestic terrorists. It's insane. But you mentioned Attorney General Merrick Garland. What did he do a few weeks ago to address these alleged, and I stress alleged, because I haven't seen any actual threats, but these alleged threats against school board officials?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically sent out this memo to people around this country saying that the Justice Department is investigating. It was obviously, I think, a threatening thing. I think it's really interesting, and this is something that popped up with later reports. It's been reported multiple places now that there's a serious conflict of issue at stake with Merrick Garland, too, as his son-in-law is the CEO and founder of a company, Pandora Education, that is promoting critical race theory materials across the country. Well, it's over 20,000 schools that this has taken place.
Well, hold that thought for just a second, because I want to set that up. We're talking to Jared Stepman. He's with the Heritage Foundation. He's a writer for thedailysignal.com. I read thedailysignal.com every single day. I don't care if I'm sick in bed. I'm pulling it up on my phone because it is one of the best websites available to clue you in on information that the mainstream media simply doesn't want you to know. So the reason why I wanted to reach out to you, Jared, this evening was because you wrote, it was just an eye-opening piece at thedailysignal.com about an apparent conflict of interest with Attorney General Garland. So explain in more detail, what is this conflict of interest?
It's quite incredible. So it's Attorney General Merrick Garland, his son-in-law, was the founder of a company, Pandora Education, is founded in 2017, that promotes materials that are very much critical race theory adjacent. That it's very much in line with a lot of these ideas that we've discussed in schools across the country. I mean, they've gone out to over 20,000 schools. The recent reports show that they've made nearly $30 million from various contracts in states around the country. Again, this is the Attorney General's son-in-law who has a direct financial interest in promoting these materials in schools. And at the same time, you have the Attorney General essentially threatening parents and people who are trying to stop this from getting to schools, sending a threatening letter to parents around the country. It's amazing that the Attorney General has not answered for what, to my mind, is a very obvious conflict of interest, something that he never disclosed, and something that I think is a very serious thing. It shows how, you know, many people, especially in powerful positions like he is, manipulate and game the system, both for ideological reasons and, in this case, apparently looks like financial.
Financial reasons. And so has the White House responded? I mean, basically, the way you've laid this out and the information is out there and you've laid it out perfectly, it's almost, it's just one step short of the Attorney General issuing this legal memorandum saying this message was brought to you by Panorama.com. I mean, it was it was just short of that, but by attacking parents who challenge and speak out against CRT in the schools, you're essentially promoting CRT, which his son-in-law sells for a living. Has the White House acknowledged this conflict of interest?
The White House has said absolutely nothing about this conflict of interest. The only thing that has happened, there was a letter sent by three senators, Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, basically asking these questions, saying, what is your son-in-law's financial interest in this? I mean, you know, Congress has a right to know this. This is the Attorney General that is involved in this, something that I think most people see as quite an extreme measure to take, given that there are no real accusations of terrorism or threats, given this really deep financial interest from his son-in-law. I mean, that's a direct connection right there. And so I do hope that there's going to be pressure from many in Congress, I hope, but certainly there hasn't been from the White House. There's been basically crickets on this issue. I mean, they're going to keep with this narrative no matter what. They're not going to answer questions about this.
We're talking,
it's important.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention to folks, in case they just tuned in, that we're talking to Jared Stepman. He's with the Heritage Foundation, and he's a writer for thedailysignal.com. Jared, I'm an attorney. That's my day job. And so when I'm in court representing my clients, a conflict of interest would result in me being dismissed from the case. I mean, the judge would throw me out of the case if I had a financial interest on the opposite side of the legal proceeding. But you mentioned here about pressure being put on the White House. But other than that, is there anything else that can be done in light of this obvious conflict of interest other than putting pressure on the White House to acknowledge this conflict of interest?
Well, there have been lawsuits as well. In fact, there's a group of parents in Michigan that have just launched a lawsuit in Washington, D.C. Against the Attorney General. I do think it's incredible. I mean, this is the Attorney General of the United States, a man who was up for a job on the Supreme Court at one point. I should have known better in this case. There was absolutely no disclosure. He was basically leaving this quiet until a Freedom of Information Act caught this thing, fortunately. And I hope opened some people's eyes about what is happening here. But I do think that there are going to be lawsuits as a result of this because, look, I mean, this is a threatening thing to parents. I mean, they're saying essentially the FBI is going to maybe investigate you for doing your civic duty. I think that's the way a lot of people see this. And I would encourage people to keep going to those meetings, to keep being civically active. Don't allow the Justice Department to scare you into thinking that, you know, you don't have a right to do this as an American, because you do. You're not a terrorist. You're a concerned citizen. And that's an important thing. That's the beating heart of what makes this country great and what it works on. And I think that these threats from a federal agency essentially are I think below the office. And I think it's a sad statement at the time of what this administration's priorities are.
I'm just sitting here thinking, Jared, that during the Obama administration, the IRS was weaponized to challenge the 501c3 status of any not-for-profit corporation that happened to sound even tangentially like it was conservative. And now we're seeing the Attorney General's office being weaponized to go against parents, the bedrock of our society, who are interested in the teaching of their children. Now the Attorney General's office is being weaponized to go after parents who are concerned about what their kids are being taught in school.
It's a scary thing. The idea that, as you said, they are weaponizing federal agencies. It's un-Republican, small R Republican, in the way that we see our government, which should be of limited function, certainly from the executive branch. This idea that agencies that are supposed to be independent are intentionally going after what appears to be political enemies, and maybe even for the purpose of financial gain, is deeply disturbing. It's disturbing in the function of our republic. In many ways, it seems, I think it should seem, un-American that this would happen. It's unacceptable that this is the ideology of a White House that's willing to do this with these agents to scare Americans into silence.
We're talking to Jared Stepman. He's with the Heritage Foundation. He's a writer for thedailysignal.com. And Jared, you're also the host of the Right Side of History podcast. You're the author of the book, The War on History, The Conspiracy to Rewrite America's Past. I don't know when you sleep, but at this point, if folks want to follow your podcast or follow what you write, where can they find you?
They can find my work at dailysignal.com. We're a multimedia wing of the Heritage Foundation, which does a lot of good work, a lot of policy. You can also follow my work at my Twitter handle, which is at Jared Stepman, and you can follow most of my work there.
Fantastic. Jared, hey, thanks so much for sharing your time with us this evening here on KMOX.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Hey, when we come back from this break, the phone lines are open. What do you think about this? About how parents are being called domestic terrorists because they have the audacity to want to know what their kids are being taught. They want to know if their kids are being formed and shoved into groups to either be classified as being the oppressor or the oppressed based upon things that happened 100 years ago. Is that really what we want in our race relations today? Or do we want what Dr. Martin Luther King said was that he longed for a day when we were judged not by the color of our skin, but by our character? That's really what we're looking for. And yet critical race theory says we're going to judge you by the color of your skin. It seems to me like that's the opposite direction that we should be going in. 314-436-7900. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. At your service means we want to hear from you. Brad Young here in with you this evening on KMOX. Don't go away. Boy, I tell you, the Attorney General of the United States has got a stranglehold. I love working song titles into the topic just to make the transition. Brad Young in with you this evening. We've gotten a ton of text messages. I can't even read them all, but I will tell you the funniest text message I've got. And Chuck, hold on just a second. The funniest one I've received is that Merrick Garland doesn't know about his son-in-law's business like Joe Biden had no idea about Hunter and Burisma. Yeah, that nails it. That's exactly the point is, of course they know. And when they tell you they don't know, you're being lied to. So keep those texts and calls coming. And Chuck, you've got some ideas on this. Welcome to KMOX.
Thank you very much. I enjoy the conversation, but I do have a point I want to make, and I'm going to get off the line.
Well, no, I actually want to talk to you after you make your point, Chuck. I enjoy that. So make your point, and then we'll discuss it.
Here's my concern. I know and understand the concept of critical race theory, but my concern is that why are we leaving out the concept of teaching Black history and other mm-hmm. minority histories in the context of U.S. history? See, the problem is that when you bring that up, everybody automatically assumes that you're talking about critical race theory. And that's not what a lot of the curriculum is wanting to do. A lot of curriculum is wanting to add these concepts and not just talk about, and I use Black history in the context because I'm an African-American male and I teach history. And too many of the history programs that we have talk about slavery, the Civil War, and then we go to civil rights. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of information that is being missed is American history.
You are exactly right. And you know what? Not only are you right, but Condoleezza Rice today said almost verbatim, Chuck, what you just said. And what folks need to understand, regardless of which side of this issue they're on, is that do we need to teach more history that's inclusive of minorities or African Americans in particular? You bet we do. But when that teaching, though, veers into which is what critical race theory does, as you know, when it veers into you, Mr. Fifth Grader, who are sitting in this chair, you are either the oppressed or the oppressor based upon the color of your skin. That's where the critical race theory movement loses me, because that's not the teaching of history. That's the teaching of prejudice.
Exactly. And I don't disagree with that, but I think too many people are trying to lump both of them into the same category, and that's where you get these back and forth arguments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get what I'm saying?
I applaud you for being a history teacher. Listen, I had three kids. My youngest just got out of high school, and teaching kids history, it must be a monumental chore, my friend.
I've been teaching for almost 20 years. I teach special education history at the high school level. So it's fun, exciting, all of the above, everything in between.
Well, God bless you, my friend. I appreciate your service, because really, you're in the trenches when you're teaching high school. You're in the trenches. So thank you very much. And I appreciate
fun.
And I appreciate you calling in this evening here on Camo X.
Thank you so very much.
Good night. He is exactly right. And that's really where education comes into play. Listening to shows like this on Camo X. Because if one side, like, for example, I kind of referenced this when I was talking to Jared Stettman earlier. I was having this conversation several months ago with one of the people in my law firm. And we were talking about critical race theory. And he suggested, isn't that just the teaching, the more inclusiveness of the teaching of history? And I said, no, it isn't. It isn't. So a lot of times folks on the left don't understand that the distinction between the two, and nor do people on the right. So do we need to be teaching more history that's inclusive of minorities? Of course. But once that teaching of history veers into categorizing people today based upon the color of their skin, that's just as wrong as in the 50s when African Americans couldn't eat at the lunch counter that was reserved for whites only. Those two things are the same, because you're still categorizing people based upon the color of their skin. That's wrong. It's wrong morally. It should be wrong legally. And yet, as these parents are trying to stop that teaching of categorizing people based upon the color of their skin, they're called domestic terrorists. You know, I was reminded of, I wasn't old enough to know this, I'm just knowing it from history, but in the 70s, President Nixon created what was called an enemies list. And I remember reading historical accounts, because I was like three at the time, but I was a little older than three, maybe six. But at the time, about the Washington Post going crazy about issues related to President Nixon having this list. But doesn't Attorney General Merrick Garland right now have the same type of list? I mean, he's accusing parents of being domestic terrorists, and he's using the power of the Attorney General's office to go after and to instruct federal authorities to investigate parents who are involved in their kids' curriculum at school. You want to talk about something that's going to encourage parents to homeschool? My goodness, if you want to go to a school board meeting and question a school board about what's being taught, and you're going to be called and labeled a domestic terrorist and investigated by the federal government, you're just going to pull your kids out and say, we're going to homeschool. So that's really going to be driving this issue when it comes to homeschooling, is whether we're going to declare war on parents. And, you know, there's one other point I want to make on this. Think about the perspective of progressives when it comes to this issue. Their perspective is, parents, we're in charge of the teaching of your kids. You are not to be involved in what we teach them. You're not to know what we're teaching them. And if you object, we're going to investigate you for domestic terrorism. That's the position of the progressives on this point. And that's outrageous that they're coming from the position that says you as a parent can't even know what your kids are being taught at school. You need to leave it in our hands. We are the professionals here, parents of America. We look at your children as skulls full of mush, and we shall fill their brains with liberal doctrine. That's just an outrageous perspective for parents to have. I mean, for school officials to have, that you as the parent should not be involved with the education of your children. I would think the parents, or rather the teachers that I've known over the years, I even have relatives that are teachers, they want parents to be involved in their education. They want their parents to be instructing their children in addition to what's being taught at school. But apparently not the progressive left. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about this day in history. Congress investigates communists in Hollywood. I'm going to talk about that a little bit and tie it into what's happening today. Brad Young at your service here this evening on KMOX. We'll be right back. Welcome back to At Your Service. And we're going to go back to the phone lines because David has been calling in, been holding for a while through the break. Hey, David, welcome to KMOX.
Hi. Glad you let me to come on.
Thank sure. You. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I'm a family doctor, but I'm part of a group called CARES, which is Change in Action for Racial Equity. I joined last year after being in an ABAR program, which is anti-bias, anti-racist program at my congregation, where we had people from the community, black people, white people, and other races. I joined this group to learn about the black community and mm-hmm. what they've gone through. I spent the last year studying things like this critical race theory issue, learning about Rockwood School District. And, you know, when I heard your caller, your speaker talk about how people are being labeled as domestic terrorists, St. Louis, I guess you saw, did you see the article in Time Magazine, the cover article in Time Magazine about Rockwood School District? We made the national news because of the threats against teaching, I guess, equity. I don't know if you want to call it critical race theory, because critical race theory is not really taught. That's an academic pursuit that they teach teachers in higher levels. But students are not being taught, you know, fifth graders are not being taught that they're the oppressors. That's just not happening. The correct history needs to be taught. I think the parents would benefit probably from learning something about this. Maybe, I don't know if you've seen Emmanuel Echo, the football player's book, Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. That's a great book because it's not very threatening, and it covers a lot of issues about history that shows us that we got to do a lot better job of teaching in the schools. In University City, where I live, they taught critical race theory in one of, or not, they taught the 1619 Project in one of the high school language classes, and the students wrote about it. Students, we got to trust the students. They're not dumb.
But David, I have to disagree with you, because the teaching of the 1619 Project is mm-hmm. just factually incorrect. Our country was not founded in 1619. The Revolutionary War, which is part of the 1619 Project, is taught that the Revolutionary War was fought so that slave owners could maintain control of slaves. That's just factually wrong. And yet that
okay,
is...
Okay, well, I would agree. I would agree that that's not... And that's not the basis of what they're teaching.
Well, it is. What happened I've in Rockwood, seen the curriculum.
Let me just get...
David, I've seen the... David, okay, I'm answering sure, your question. I've sure. actually seen the text of what has been taught in the curriculum when schools are being taught the 1619 Project. And on multiple schools across the country, they are being taught that the focus of the Revolutionary War was to maintain control of slaves. And, David, that's just factually wrong. And to teach that is a bastardization of history, to teach something that's factually wrong in order to advance a theory. It's just wrong, David. And if you acknowledge that it's wrong, but you still support the teaching of the 1619 Project, I don't see how you can reconcile those two positions.
Well, I would say let's leave the 1619 Project, because I want to go to the broader issue. I mean, the more important issue that came up was about the domestic terrorism. In St. Louis, in the Rockwood School District, they literally drove out the new superintendent of the schools, and the equity person had to quit because of death threats against them. And the teachers had to hire private security in their neighborhoods because of death threats against them, because they were had a curriculum that taught more black history. They weren't teaching the 1619 Project. They weren't telling students that they were the oppressors. But the threats from the parents through the school board and through this, you know, the organized parents were so vitriolic that they chased after the superintendent, and people had to hire private security. So if you want to call it domestic terrorism, I don't think, you know, I didn't call it that. What I called it was a shame, and the fact that St. Louis made the main article in Time magazine.
Yeah, well, the question that I would have, that's right near where I live. And the question mm-hmm. that I would have is how those school officials characterize threats. Because if you look at what's going on college campuses today, if someone shows up and speaks as a conservative, they consider that a threat just because they're talking about conservative ideals. And so I would really question the extent to which any of those things were actually voiced as threats, or were the parents just asserting that I don't want kids taught this false information in our school district, and it was interpreted as a threat. I would really like to see that distinction. I mean, for example, look, this is from the New York Times Magazine. It's not exactly Fox News. And New York Times Magazine in August of 2019 talked about the 1619 Project, and I'm quoting, aims to reframe the country's history by placing the consequences of slavery and the contributions of Black Americans at the center of the United States national narrative. And the point is there's nothing wrong with the teaching of Black history. But when you're trying to reframe history to categorize what people are doing today in terms of what slavery did 200 years ago, David, that's just wrong. And I'm going to stand up against that. And I'm going to shout it from the mountaintops that is simply wrong.
Okay. Can I, in terms of that, I think that what we haven't taught, okay, what we have not taught and we have not understood was the continuing impact, okay, the continuing impact of what happened then and what happened over the last 100 years, including, like in St. Louis, for instance, real estate laws that perpetuated, basically segregation. St. Louis is the most segregated city around, I think. But those didn't start now. Those things did not start now. And if you don't understand those things, and I studied that ever since college. I'm 50 years out of college.
I studied in law school. I'm very familiar with it.
You know, and the thing is, if you don't study, and when they say center the conversation, which is I've learned from my progressive relatives, okay, when they say center something, they don't mean making it the only conversation. What they mean is that you take people that have been marginalized and you bring out their story where we can all see it so people understand it.
I disagree that they're
making fifth graders feel like they're the oppressors. That's not the point. The point is to understand, which is what I've learned in my CARES group, is that we, if we learn about things, and that's why I joined it, was basically to learn about things. If we learn about it and we know more about it, then we can maybe make some changes, because we have a long way to go in St. Louis and we have a long way to go in the country.
We do. The things that you mentioned, like the legal restrictions on African-Americans, those things were legally mm-hmm. phased out 40 years ago. And I studied these in law school, and they've all been held now to be invalid under the law. And yet the continuing teaching of those things is really done to demonstrate the oppressiveness that's going on today. And in fact, one of the core elements of the 1619 Project is the teaching that the idea of capitalism in of itself is oppressive to minorities, and that is simply false. Hey, David, we're coming up here on a hard break. You got 20 seconds.
Okay, 20 seconds. Right now, if a Black person puts their house on the market, their valuation is 20% less than a white person's, unless they have a white person at the house at the time it's evaluated. That happens right now.
False.
So it hasn't ended. It has not ended. We still have a lot to learn about it.
False.
And I appreciate the chance to get to come on your
David,
show. Thank
I
you
appreciate
so much.
It. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
What he just said, in my mind, is false. It's false. Now, if you want to talk about our African Americans primarily living in areas that are of depressed value, who could disagree with that? And should they be allowed to live anywhere they want? Absolutely, 100% agree. But the assertion that just based on the color of the skin of the person who lists the house, it's going to have a 20% difference in value, I don't believe that in any way. I simply don't believe it. And I would want to see the evidence on that, not just an assertion from someone who calls in. Now, when you look at this 1619 project from the beginning to the end, it is rooted in Marxism. It is rooted in an anti-capitalism viewpoint that says that capitalism in of itself is discriminatory, is oppressive. And yet when you look across the world right now, capitalism is the greatest freedom generator that this planet has ever seen or ever known. You want to see the effects of socialism? Go look in Venezuela. Now you're going to see empty store shelves and starving people. Brad Young here at your service. Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900 on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.